Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry, Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don't let tomorrow's solutions get stuck on today's obstacles. Help move what matters at Iowa State. Iowa State students have big ideas.
My name is Cam Schaefer. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Spock Sanctuary, which is an exotic companion animal rescue, and we provide other services in education and nutrition.
And it all started with a little help from cyclones like you.
Success in farming is all about precision and efficiency, ensuring every seed, every drop of water, every nutrient and treatment counts. TerraPlex Ag is helping farmers all over Iowa and the Midwest do just that. With precision ag drone technology and support from TerraPlex, you'll boost your productivity and make timely and informed decisions, all while reducing your costs and increasing your profit. It's time to revolutionize your farming. Harvest the benefits with TerraPlex Ag. Visit TerraPlexAg.com.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bondurant. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bondurant. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you. All right, friends, welcome to Williams and Bloom here on Sunday, the 14th of April. No Bloom tonight. We are doing something that is the first time in the history of this show where it's just me. It's just solo. Bloom is on a retirement get-together party, vacation, whatever you want to call it, with his father and brothers. So, Dennis, happy retirement to you, my friend. Glad that you guys got to head to Arizona and do that. So I'm solo tonight, and I've got a bunch of questions from our listening audience that I'm going to try to get to as many as possible. I will not be able to get to all of them, but some of them are quite repetitive. So hopefully I can get most of these topics covered. Of course, we are presented by our friends at MechDyne, the MechDyne Corporation, enabling discovery. Check them out at MechDyne.com. That is MechDyne.com here in the Wild Rose Casino Studios, and we're fueled by Cody Road Bourbon. All right, I'm just going to dive right in. I haven't really looked at these too much other than, again, just making sure I wasn't hammering out multiple topics. Kind of a good therapeutic episode here for me because I am a pretty deep thinker with this stuff, and there probably will be some rambling, so I apologize for that in advance. This would be a good opportunity for you to go and crack open an Ames Lager, baby. Go get yourself an Ames Lager. Westo Brewing out there in Okoboji. That's the only beer. There's all these Iowa State beers out there. They're all delicious. Ames Lager is the only one that supports the NIL cause in the We Will Collective, and that's important to know. I had a couple of Ames Lagers on Saturday. Fantastic stuff. Let's get right into this, okay? So I'm going to read you these Twitter names. You can go and follow these people if you would like. You don't have to. I don't know all these people. Some of them might be very mean. A lot of mean people on Twitter. Hopefully these are all nice people. And again, I'm going all over the place here. I apologize if I go too deep, but this will be a monologue type episode where I'm just going to give you everything I got. Empty the tank. Bring it on. Here on the Psycho Fanatic Podcast Network, of course. Hello to all of you watching on YouTube as well. We'll start things off with Alex Gookin, @_AlexGookin, who says, why does it feel like Rocco Becht is flying under the radar? He says, it seems like Rocco is an afterthought in the quarterback conversation, despite statistically being one of the best returning. With everyone else returning on offense, what gives? Good question. Really good question. You know, and the more cynical side of me probably thinks because it's Iowa State, right? Like, last year's team was a nice surprise to those of you who buy season tickets and who consume the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, and everybody was really happy with how the season went. But nationally, they're still just a 7-5 team, right? Like, that's just how they're viewed. I'm not trying to diminish it. That's the truth. And it's the reality of our current media situation is that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to continue to really dominate headlines, and that's not going to change. I mean, yeah, you're totally right, Alex, that Rocco probably is flying under the radar, but yeah, last year was a great year for Matt Campbell's program with all the distractions that they had, bouncing back from going 4-8. It was a great, great season of names, but they're still a 7-5 team to other people around the country. And that just doesn't generate a ton of headlines. I would guess when you start to see more regional type of coverage of these conferences that Rocco will get a lot of love in the Big 12. But nationally, his name's just not big enough yet. And he doesn't play for a program that's high profile enough to get that type of preseason accolades after one season. Do it again, I think it'll be different, right? I mean, we kind of saw this with Brock Purdy. He was really good young in his career, and then he really didn't get many accolades until heading into that senior season. All right, Cyclone Johnny on Twitter. Is our offensive line going to be top four or five caliber in the Big 12 this year? It seems like every year we overhype it and are mid-pack at best. I'm really glad you asked that, because I want to talk about the overhyping situation when it comes to the offensive line. Because I've been accused of this, and I actually think that's, you accuse me of doing a lot of things. I am the farthest from perfect. I don't think I overhype the offensive line. I think that I ask questions, and we report what we're being told. I think that it ultimately, you know what I think, is that your scheme is a bigger deal than the actual line itself over the last 5 to 6 years of Iowa State football in the time that you were talking about Cyclone Johnny. And I think you just look no further than last year, where there were games where you're like, man, that offensive line is just mauling these dudes, right? And then there were games like the Ohio game where you're like, what in the hell was that? And I thought that Nate Shielhouse and Matt Campbell and whoever else had their hands on that offense last year really evolved nicely with their game plans. I thought Shielhouse called phenomenal games. I thought that they were spreading things out more. And don't even get me. You want me to bring up Mike Leach? Hal Mummy? The Air Raid? I'll do it. I'll do it. You let me right there. In all seriousness, I don't know, I guess, if the lines have been that bad over the years. I think they've been poor when it comes to just being maulers. Iowa State needs 2 yards, go out and just maul the dude in front of you and run block like crazy. I don't think they've been good in that scenario. But I would also point out that I think there were a lot of times there, which is why, you know, I think Iowa State made changes with its offense where it was quite, I don't even know if predictable is the right word, but there were tells. And when you don't have that group of linemen, I think that they had strengths, but that wasn't one of them. And that's what fans are referencing often. And I totally understand that. But like to me, as I answer this question, do I think that the line could be top 4 to 5 caliber in the Big 12? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm also interested in just how does Taylor Mauser work, you know, in his first year calling plays. I really like Taylor. He's one of my favorite people on the staff. I have a ton of faith that he's going to be really good, but he's still never called plays before. So like, this is all new. And you know, just the whole scheme and all that stuff matters. And it's like I say with Iowa, when I do my show on Iowa Everywhere with Chris Hassel, do we really think that Iowa's offensive lines have just been terrible the last 3 years? Do you really believe that? Because I don't. Like, they may have been, they're not as good as they were 7 or 8 years ago. Like, I'm not claiming that. But when every freaking person in the stadium knows what's coming, it's pretty damn hard to go out there and do your job as an offensive lineman. And I thought you saw Iowa State last year. Yes, the line got better as the season went on. But I thought Shieldhouse's, you know, I thought the whole game plan, TCU game on, really just, you know, they kept getting better. And then it's no fluke that the offensive line looks better at the same time. So do they need to get better in short yardage running situations? Absolutely. Do I think they'll be top 4 to 5? I don't know. And the reason I say that is because I don't know enough about the rest of the teams in this league yet. It is only April 14th. We still have another transfer portal situation coming up. I don't even know when that is, when we need Bloom here. But yeah, I think that the thing I do like is I always want juniors and seniors playing up front, not freshmen and sophomores. And there's a lot of experience with this Iowa State group. So yeah, I just, to me, is it going to be over? Like, that is a big conversation. I thought that the offensive line really held a guy like David Montgomery back. I thought that even Breece Hall, like, but then you go to, 21, the Fiesta Bowl year, and, you know, really good. So, I don't know. I hope that answered your question. Shout out to a couple of quick sponsors. My guy, Colin Newell, speaking of offensive linemen, I got him a new quote, person getting a quote from Colin this week. They continue to save money. Listeners to the podcast, just go online and Google Colin Newell Insurance with our friends at Farm Bureau Financial Services. All of his information is going to pop right up there for you. He will save you money and get you better coverage. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. I've yet to have a person who we have sent to Colin not save money. Colin Newell, former Iowa State center, one of the co-hosts of Football and Random Things during the season, here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. All right, Jared_Ransom on Twitter. He says, I got a big NIL question for you. What is ultimately holding Iowa State back from competing for more transfer portal athletes in all sports? Is it the fact that we don't have a major money backer? I love our grassroots efforts. We Will Collective is awesome, but I know they can't do it alone. That's a really good question. And one, I would say, well, with like basketball, like they're going out and getting like 4 or 5 transfers a year. So I don't know if that works in that conversation. I do know, like with football, listen, and this is why, and a lot of you killed me for this, and that's fine. Sometimes I'll say things that I believe to be true and you don't want to hear it. After that bowl game, it was pretty obvious to me that one team had really, really, really prepared for that bowl game, and the other one was trying to keep its roster intact for next year. It watched the game, right? Like, it's not an excuse. That is a reason. Memphis was out there playing like its hair was on fire. Iowa State, you know, they cared. I'm not saying they didn't, but they spent the entire month of December trying to keep these, you know, 17, 18 freshmen and sophomores who contributed last year on the roster so that we could all be looking forward to this year. So, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Talked about this some last week, like the Hadley situation, this Javon Hadley, who Iowa State thought that they had. He gets some big portal offers elsewhere. I think he trimmed his list down to Louisville and USC over the weekend. And could Iowa State have gotten him? Yes. But what kind of a message are you sending to Taman Lipsey? I'm just throwing out a name. If all of a sudden this guy who averaged 10 a game at Colorado has done nothing for the program, comes in, he's making 3-4 times as much money as you. Right? You see my point. So I just think, like, is Iowa State ever going to be a school that's just going out and living and dying in the portal? No. So, like, next year's team, yeah, they're going to have some transfers. And these transfers, many of them will probably start, right? Like DeSean Jackson, the five-man. Okay? But the core of the team will be guys who are coming back. And that's how I look at football next year. It's confusing for a fan because you're excited, right? Like this free agency thing, everybody can go out and get players that they need. Well, it's not that easy. So like if you go out and get a big defensive tackle, but you got to pay him $1 million, and he's making $500K more than the next highest player. I'm just throwing out fake numbers. I don't know these. But you see how that could like, because then you have to give everybody a raise. And that's where you don't have the money for. So like, and to be honest with you, Jared, I don't think I want Iowa State to be in that spot. I think the long-term way for Iowa State to be successful based on the situation that it's in is to be retaining more guys and gals and less about bringing on 50% of your new roster in the portal and hoping that you have enough chemistry, right? Like it gets really messy like that. So hopefully that answers it. This is all by design. Like, yeah, Iowa State doesn't have as much money as many of its competitors, but I also, like, because of that, this is the plan. Hope that helps. At @ckeeler_22. Yes. Do you think we'll see contracts when it comes to NIL? Will we ever see a loan option that soccer does? For instance, we could have loaned Omaha off somewhere for a year and bring him back the following year. I mean, no. And I'm assuming you're referencing like European soccer, like they're employees. They are owned by these organizations. I mean, these student athletes don't have any contracts at all in the sense of like there's no collective bargaining agreement. There's nobody looking out for them. No, you can't just do that with a 19-year-old who's not an employee. I don't know how else to answer that. Troy B. King on Twitter. With there being a required separation of the school and name, image, and likeness, how are schools guaranteeing coaches minimum NIL budgets? Troy, you know as good as I do that rules are only worth the paper that they're written on. I mean, come on, you think the people aren't talking? Of course they are. I mean, I don't know who. It's probably, I would guess that like if you're John Calipari and you're taking the Arkansas job, you're probably going to talk to the guy who's running the collective or gal, right? Wouldn't you? I would think so. Joe Bomb 33. Let's talk elite college shooters. How many of them are there in Division I? When was the last time Iowa State had one? How do we get the next one? Okay. Is Curtis Jones going to be an elite college shooter next year? Because I would make the argument that I don't have the numbers in front of me. I should have looked that up, Joe. I'm sorry. I would make the argument that in the second half of the Big 12, or just the second half of the season, he would be considered an elite shooter, I would guess. So I think Iowa State does have one. Was Tyrus McGee one? with Scotty Christopherson, his final year one. I mean, I feel like Niang was pretty elite at his high end. I feel like Naz was pretty elite. Yeah, the term elite is what's tripping me up there, Joe. I know Iowa State has had some really good guys. I think Curtis Jones would be an elite shooter. I really do. And that's a guy who only got better. And I mean, the dude just dropped 25 or whatever it was in the Sweet 16 when nobody else could make a shot. So I'm really high on him. I think that he is a guy. He reminds me a lot of McGee, only in the sense that it's like, where is his role at? Where is he best at on the team? Because he brought so much energy off the bench. He's a better, more well-rounded player than Tyrese was. But similar role, though, right? And how do you massage that if you're TJ Otzelberger next year with the lineup? I would assume that he starts. But, man, it was so valuable when that first unit would get off to a rough start, and then you have all three of those guys that can handle the ball, man. That is that's sexy basketball if you can maintain it. But I think he's there. How many are there? Is it? Well, I mean, dude, I didn't even mention Momchilovic. I think he can be too. I mean, come on. Stupid. That's why I need to do these with rosters. You would think I would remember all this stuff off the top of my head, but I don't. Like in my mind, like Daniel Adozie is still on the bench. That's how old I'm getting. Yeah, I mean, Momchilovic too. Like, I feel like you may have two elite guys next year. Right? I think both those guys could be north of 38% from three, I would hope. I would hope Milan is 40% or higher next year. Depend on, situations for Curtis a little bit more as far as the role goes. But, yeah, I mean, I think Iowa State might have two, which is really encouraging. Thanks to our friends at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Shout out to my guy, Dean Spalding, over there at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. I am really intrigued by their graduate programs. You can do it all online. The online MBA is award-winning at the Ivy College of Business. ivbusiness.iastate.edu is where you can go and read all about it. Read all about it. They've been supporting us for a long time. We appreciate them and everything they do here for us on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Also, my buddy Jeff Kelderman at Kelderman Manufacturing. I wanted to give a deal. I'm actually going to be at this, and I will not be. This is a cool situation coming up on the 6th of May, and any of you who are into like NASCAR racing will have heard of this. It's the annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride Across America. It's going to be at Kelderman Manufacturing. I'll give you more details. I think it starts around 1 o'clock, but some real heavy hitters. Richard Petty's going to be there. Isn't that awesome? Richard Petty, Kenny Wallace, a bunch of former NASCAR legends are going to be at Kelderman Manufacturing down there in Oskaloosa. I will tell you more about that as the time comes. I will be down there with all the proceeds going to Kyle Petty's Victory Junction Gang, which is a really, really cool organization.
Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry. Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, let's get to some more questions here. Dragon Energy. Oh, that's terrifying. At JSEIITCH on Twitter. Maybe I shouldn't be giving out all these names. I don't know. Otzelberger is criminally underpaid relative to the rest of the Big 12. When is that going to change? I mean, I would guess it changes fairly soon. I would think that he's getting a raise. And it just hasn't been announced yet. You look around and there's a reason why his name didn't get floated around with all these jobs. So like, here's the thing, like these guys for the most part can control if their names are getting tossed around. Like Scott Drew loves the attention and he wants his name to be mentioned with all these jobs every year. Otherwise he would stop it. Call your agent and say, hey, quit talking to these people about me. There's a reason why TJ's just didn't get brought up because he's not leaving, but you're right. He's also not going to be insulted by, you know, his salary compared to people who have done a much worse job than him. You know, he's been much better than. So I would say stay tuned. I don't know anything more than that, but there's no way he goes into the next year with a top 10 team like that being paid what he is now. CJM 8787 says, I have a few questions. Is it true that you and Bloom are actually Cyclone Larry? That's incorrect. Do you think I'm that clever? Two things. Do you think, one, I'm that clever? Two, that I have time to do what Cyclone Larry does? He's doing the Lord's work, for one. I don't have time for that. No. Bloom, I don't know. I can't speak for Bloom, but I don't think it's Bloom. He's not that funny. I've known Brent forever. He is not that funny. He says, can you explain the fan experience of attending the spring game? Where to park, cost of attendance, parking? It's free, I believe. You can just park wherever you want. You just park at Jack Trice Stadium and tailgate. I believe, unless something's different this year. The spring game, I feel like, has lost a lot of luster over the years, and not just at Iowa State. I just feel like across all of college football. It's not an Iowa State critique here. I remember as a kid, like, the spring games were a huge deal. Maybe it was because I was just little, you know, and it seemed bigger, but like, we didn't get to like hear from the players and stuff all year long like we do now. We didn't hear from the coaches. We didn't see the coaches like we do 12 months out of the year now. Like now, like we just have so much more knowledge of these players and these rosters going into these spring games. And I think with technology, the coaching staffs have just dumbed these things down so poorly that we don't learn anything. I remember even in the McCarney years, man, you would learn something about the team. You felt like you knew the team better walking away from it. Maybe a little bit now, but not really. When I started this deal, Cyclone Fanatic, we were doing pre-spring game, pre-game shows on KXNO. Like, it was a huge deal. We don't do anything like that now. Now, we are going to have a lot of spring game and spring football coverage for you this week. Courtesy of our friends over at A Plus Lawn and Landscape. So that's coming up, but like, it's just, it's fun though. I would go. Like, if the weather's going to be nice, I will absolutely go. I'm not telling you not to go. Like, it's worth it to me. I'm a sicko. You got a really good squad that's going to be, you know, knocking on the door of the preseason top 25 next year. Like, I absolutely think it's a great experience. They've done a good job having Sice House of Trivia. I think Visha being canceled really hurt the spring game. Like, that coincided quite a bit back in the day. You just had a lot of people that would do it all. So yeah, I'll go. I'll be there. Definitely, I'll be there. Oh, a good question here from at Petersburg Kirk. Petersburg King. Deep question. He has two good questions here. I like these. How much should it cost to be a fan? Between tickets, a babysitter, parking, travel, food, apparel, NIL beers, donations to programs and NIL, streaming subscriptions, for out-of-town games, and also insider info, giving days. I'm not by naive, but how much? That's a fantastic question, and that, I believe, is a personal choice, is how invested do you want to be in this? Right? Like, so I could turn that around and all those things you listed off, and like, is a NFL season ticket holder, you basically have to have a mortgage on it, right? Like your license. You could live without a lot of these things and still be a fan, right? You don't have to support the NIL beer. I would say you should. Love me some Angel Lager, baby. You don't have to donate to programs. Your parking's going to suck. You know, they've stacked it against you. I get it. Like, listen, hear me out here, okay? You could take your kid to the game. I'm kidding. Nobody wants to do that. You raised the point, and you are spot on, and this is why I've always said that the NIL being on the fans is a really shitty thing. And it's going to change at some point. But, you know, I would also make the point that this is where the long, hard conversation between these schools, conferences, there's got to be a player organization. If it's a union, collective bargaining, whatever, like there's got to be somebody supporting the players in that sense. And everybody's got to come to the table and what is best for the sport, right? What is best for the sport in college athletics, not what is best for me. Because all these, because here's what happens, you know, like there's a Big 12 meeting or a Big 10 meeting or an American meeting, and all these athletic directors and presidents walk into the meeting and they're thinking about themselves. So then when all the commissioners get together at some fancy ass hotel and they're eating caviar and they all walk into the room, all those commissioners are thinking about themselves in their conference, because that's who pays them. It's all greed across the board because everybody's just thinking of themselves. I can even dumb it down here to local level, right? So you have athletic directors who have to pay these giant coaching staffs. They've got to pay, you know, all their support staffs. They've got to pay for the scholarships of the players. They've got to feed the players. They've got, you know, there's all these expenses, and they've got their business that they are trying to run. Right. Well, then the other side of that, now you have, so you have the collectives that are, you know, trying to support the coaching staffs and these players to get them as much money as possible so that you can win. But you can see how, you know, for the less forward-thinking athletic department, they don't want their piece of the pie being stripped because of the NIL, because they still have to pay these people, right? Like they still have to get their checks at the end of the week. But then, you know, the easy answer here is really simple, and it should have been happening a long time ago, is that these television contracts, you know, should be, part of that should be going to the players. They've had free labor for a really long time. And you know, you guys know what I'm saying there. There's nuance to that. I very much value a scholarship, and I know a lot of the student athletes, you know, at Iowa State and around the country do. But it was when these TV contracts started getting into the tens of millions of dollars, and you had these coaches that are now making $10 million a year. That's when you were these players and these students and these people supporting them looked around and go, wait a minute. Do we really need, you know, the barbershop in the you know, the team room, or, you know, like, right, you started to get to all this extravagant spending. Had they just given the players, student athletes, more 15 years ago, and they kind of did, like the cost of attendance thing, and like it did get better, but it was always kind of like, okay, they're just kicking the can down the road. they should have given more back then to not be in the spot that they're in now with all these lawsuits, and they will lose. How much is it? How much should it cost to be a fan? You know, I would say this as well, because I've experienced this as an Iowa Stater. You're right. And everybody has a different spot, right? Like, so like what you think is too much is going to be different than your neighbor. Right. But I also think, like, while it's gotten a lot more expensive at Iowa State over the last 10 years, it's still pretty affordable when you compare that to other spots, you know, and it's more expensive than others. Like, right. Like all these situations are different. But, you know, to go back to my greater point, there's got to be a spot in time where everybody gets together and they think about the quality of the sport and what's best for the sport. And none of this exists without the fans. So you can't keep screwing over, you know, the people that make all of this possible. That makes sense. I think I wrapped that up quite nicely. Thank a few more of our great sponsors here before we get to more questions here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. We're going to do a big shindig the weekend of the first football game up at Wiffles Hybrids in the new Ames plant. We'll tell you more about that. I believe August 28th is when that's going to be. A lot of farmers will be in town for the Farm Progress Show over in Boone. So look forward to that. Also, I want to thank our dear friends as well over at the ISU Foundation. We had a very, very awesome Forever True Day, raised a lot of money. I think we brought in like $12,000-$13,000 with our donors at Cyclone Fanatics. We thank you all for your generosity with that. And you can go to movewhatmatters.com for more from our friends at the ISU Foundation. Same question asker. How do we get non-wrestling fans to care about wrestling? I love this question. You're a good question asker, sir. So I often will compare the wrestling crowd to my favorite sport, which is auto racing. Y'all are very defensive. Y'all are very brash, and you all are very quick to make judgments on newbies when it comes to your sport. I have experienced this as a journalist with both of these fields. And what's funny is I'm like kind of like the inside racing crowd too. Like, I know a lot of people in the pits. But then like they can make you feel really, really small very easily if you ask a dumb question in their mind. Or wrestling and racing fans expect everybody to be as intense about the product as they are. And you are asking, how do non-wrestling fans care about, how do we get more of them? You've got to be welcoming. I think Kevin Dresser does a phenomenal job with this. I really do. I think Dresser's as good of any of as any of them when it comes to this, where he wants people, right? Like Kevin wants, he wants people excited about Iowa State wrestling, and the winning helps. So they're getting back to it, right? Like, I think a lot of people were watching Iowa State wrestling this last March that probably hadn't in 15, 20 years. So you're on the right track with the winning. But I think, you know, this is not an Iowa State thing. I'm talking from what I've seen. I know a lot of reporters that have been put on a wrestling beat and they leave crying because they've been cussed out by four people. I'm not even criticizing you guys. I think most of you wrestling fans could be like, oh yeah, yeah, I could see that. And my favorite sport does it too, so I don't think I'm any better than you. But what can you do to, you know, teach and to, you know, I'll tell you what I think too. I think that the college wrestling season needs to be moved up 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Started earlier in November and get the damn championships off of the NCAA tournament. Especially now too with the women's game taken off the, it's too much. Fans don't have enough bandwidth in March to do all of this. There are Iowa State fans who will cheer for the laundry. Okay, they're just cheering because it's Iowa. Remember when tennis was playing in that like Final Four or whatever last year? Those people like streaming Iowa State tennis on YouTube or whatever it was. Iowa State fans will root for Iowa State if it has a competitive product, but you can't do it at the same. Like, it's so hard to follow college wrestling in March. It just is. Yeah, you got 15 mats going on. Oh, I got to be on this stream. I got to be on this. I was trying to watch it in Omaha when I was working the day before Iowa State's game against Washington State, and it was hard. No, and I know, like, there's going to be a wrestling film. I did it just fine. Yeah, but because you know what you're doing, right? I'm talking about the casual fan who we're trying to get to participate in this sport. And you got to make it easier for them. And I just think that if you start the season earlier, I don't think it would be that big of a deal for your calendar. So then your Big 12 tournament and your nationals are in February. In the middle of February, before all the March Madness stuff happens, I promise you that your numbers are going to go way up as far as TV goes. Getting people there, you know, I think they do a good job with the Beauty and the Beast thing. I thought it was really interesting when they did the thing at Stevens Auditorium. I think that one of the smartest things they've done was they brought that, our friends at Fairway brought that wrestling mat out, and they did like drills before a football game. To me, getting these wrestlers out into the community, making people more bought into it is huge. Like, you know, and again, I'll use a example with racing, right? Like, there's a million different like series that I could watch. I will be more passionate and about the ones where I know who the drivers are, right? Who I'm familiar with them as people. And the more we can get these Iowa State wrestlers in front of cameras on shows like ours, that to me will pay off the most. And that's very hyper local. Big picture, you got to be nice to these people when they come and they're taking interest in your sport. Don't be so defensive all the time. Don't bite their head off. It's a confusing sport if you don't know anything about it, right? It's not like basketball where it's like, oh, if you can put that ball through that hoop, you get 2 points. Or like football where, all right, he's got to cross that line and then he gets 6 points. Wrestling, if you're not around it a lot, these rules, and it's like, what are back points? You know, like, it's confusing for somebody who hasn't been brought up, and it's more of a niche sport. I love it. And I love the direction that Dresser's got that thing going. But I think that's a fantastic question. Andy wants to know, what's the outlook on JT Rock and DeSean Jackson? Losing three solid post players, is it a concern? I'm a fan of Watson and Milan. They don't provide the same height. I think it's a fair question. And to me, not knowing what else is going to happen in the portal, because there's more coming, that's fair. Like, so it's great to have all these good guards, and you got this shooter, and then I think Noyos coming in will be another shooter that you add. The question on the bigs, whoever else they add, will just be toughness, right? Like the I like to use Oshun Oshuni as an example. He was a good player, but boy, he really wore down in the Big 12. Right? Like, he was not as good of a player in March as he was in January because his body wore down. He just wasn't as good. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't strong enough. I think he was a tough kid. I think he played really hard. But that level was just a little too much, I thought. You know, how do any of these guys translate to that? Last year, man, you had three guys who had been through it. Hassan Ward was not like that his first year at Iowa State. Okay? So, it took him, and he got into town late and all that stuff, but it took him a while. You know, Robert Jones was physical enough. It just, he wasn't skilled. He got better as he went on. And Trey King, like, really still was kind of out of position, right? When he had to play, you know, a true post spot against a lot of those Big 12 guys. So I think it's a fair concern. To me, it doesn't matter who they bring in the rest of the portal. That's the question going into next year. Is just the overall like physicality in the post in the Big 12. Now, the good thing is that DeSean Jackson is old. So is the kid that they're bringing in from Seattle. You know, so you've got experienced dudes who are not, they're not like Rock, right? Where you've never played before. That's good. If Rock can give you 10 a game next year, that's a win. He needs another year to keep developing. If he can get to that point, man, that's a huge win for you. You nail it, Andy, on the question for next year. All right. I think that's all I got for you. I hope that this was okay. I kind of enjoy doing these because it allows me to get a little deeper on a few topics and, yeah, a little quiet here tonight without Bloom. Bloom's always over there slurping his Ames lager, typing on his iPad. No, this was good. I did have a handful of you ask, and we will be doing a lot of coverage on the women's basketball transfer portal this week at Cyclone Fanatic. That just takes a little bit longer for one reason or another to get moving. But I do think it's going to be an active week in Ames. I'm working on doing some reporting for you, so stay tuned. Again, never been a better time to be a premium subscriber, a Patreon subscriber at Cyclone Fanatic. We're doing a really good job. I'm really proud of the work our team has done this offseason, and I think it's only going to continue to get better. We are presented, as always, by our friends at MacDine and the MacDine Corporation. Thank you to my friend Chris Clover for continuing to have the vision that he does for us to be able to promote his company here on Cyclone Fanatic. For my good friend Brent Bloom, he'll be back with me on Wednesday's midweek podcast. My name is Chris Williams, signing off here. Have a great Sunday evening and enjoy your work week.